Today's program has been brought to you by the Heritage Meat Shop, located in the historic Essex Street Market in New York City. For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Okay. This is Straight from the Source, streaming to you from the Heritage Radio Network studio in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York. My name's Clay Gordon, and in the 20 years I've been exploring my chocolate life, I visited cacao farms from Bolivia to Belize and beyond, and spent time with farmers, cacao merchants, and some of the world's best chocolate makers and confectioners. And Straight from the Source is inspired by the people I've met and what they've taught me. Today my guests are Nat Bletter and Dave Elliott. They're the founders of Madre Chocolate in Hawaii. Nat was my guest just before Christmas, you may remember. And on this special Valentine's Day edition, we're going to be talking about a new chocolate that they're developing. Just for Valentine's Day, we're going to be tasting three of their chocolates, and after the break, we're going to be talking about the neurobiology of chocolate and why chocolate makes you feel good. My in-studio guest is Brian Graham of Fruition Chocolate here in New York Hudson Valley. You may remember Brian was my guest a couple of weeks ago, and if you don't remember that episode, I invite you to go back and take a look at it. So, Nat and Dave, hello from Hawaii.
Hey, how you doing, Clay? Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. And Dave, we finally have a chance to talk on the phone. We've corresponded for quite some time, and it's a good chance to finally catch up. How are things with you?
Doing great. Happy to be here this morning, Clay. Thanks for having us.
Glad. And Brian, you're here in the studio.
Hey, guys.
Okay. Well, and you guys, have you met? Have you met before?
No, we haven't.
So you get a chance to talk to each other or meet each other virtually. So, Nat, when you were here in New York City over the holidays, you got a chance to give me some chocolate, and I'm looking forward to diving into some of that. But before we do that, you said you were working on a special Valentine's Day chocolate, which had some, you know, really interesting sounding Thai aphrodisiac herb that you're growing in Hawaii at the moment. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I'll turn that over to Dave since he's been working with the farmers while I was off in New York.
So. Okay. All right, Dave, so what's going on there?
Well, in typical fashion, we started making one new experimental batch, and now we've got two totally different experimental batches. They seem to reproduce that way. The first one is with some really beautiful purple turmeric grown on an organic ginger farm in Puna in the southern part of the Big Island. What is it that makes the purple turmeric such a special thing?
Well, its Thai name is Cha Chai Dam, and Cha Chai is also sometimes known as ginger root or finger root. You find it occasionally in some Thai dishes, but this is in Thai that would be the black finger root, and in northwest Thailand around Chiang Mai, it's used as a aphrodisiac or almost like a herbal Viagra, I guess you could say. They have a lot of those in Thailand. They often see on the street different roots and sometimes snakes immersed in whiskey making an infusion, and this is called Inang Dam, sort of like the red medicine. And so this is one of those, and these ginger growers brought it back from Thailand, where they go every year, and they started experimenting with it, and they even sent it off to Alinea in Chicago for grants to play with, and they turned it over to us because they know we like to play with interesting flavors.
these farmers, basically, they've been begging us to make a chocolate with a purple turmeric for them to give to their wives and girlfriends. It's the way this bar really, that's the real story of this chocolate bar.
So what is the traditional way in which the purple turmeric is consumed? Is it dried and ground and then used? Do people make tinctures or some other kind of concoction with it? Because I know that chocolate is not a part of the normal Thai diet.
No, actually, Thais, in general, I found to test chocolate because, especially dark chocolate, because in Thailand, since the savory dishes are so incredibly flavorful and spicy and often bitter, your dessert is only supposed to be sweet, no spice, no bitterness. So that means that they don't really like chocolate as dessert. But the purple turmeric they would have in that, probably in that whiskey infusion, that you get a shot or two of on the, as you're walking down the street in the night market.
So there's a lot of interest in the notion of chocolate and aphrodisia together. Do you guys have any personal experience with the purple turmeric? Can you tell us how it works and you know, whether or not we should be putting our orders in now for it's a little late, you know, for this stuff to arrive at Valentine's Day, but is there time for us to what should we know about it, and should we get in line to be able to surprise someone with this?
I haven't done extensive experiments in that way. I've just been combining it with chocolate, and it does have an incredible flavor and aroma. It smells kind of like candied lavender. It's really perfumey, and it has this incredible deep purple color, which is kind of our Madre's theme color. So that's why we picked it for a Valentine's Day thing. I don't know, Dave, have you done any experiments with it?
Not that I'm willing to report on air. But the floral scent is really the beautiful and special part that grabs your attention right from the start. And as with any potent compound, a little dose will do you and increase bit by bit until you find the appropriate level for your own use scenario.
You know, I'm happy to be an experimental guinea pig. Hey, Brian, does it sound like something that you think you could do? I mean, Hudson River Valley in the middle of winter, it might make those long days go a little bit easier.
Yeah, for sure. We'd be willing to give it a try.
All right. And I think that's a great segue. I mean, to talking about, I think, what is your signature chocolate, Madre signature chocolate, which is the triple cacao. So do you want to comment on, you know, what's in the triple? We got a bar here open, and Brian and I are going to taste it here. So I hope you guys have got a bar there open, and we can talk about what's going on there. So, you know, what's up with the triple cacao that people should want to know about?
Well, when you bite into it, you're going to get a couple of sensations that are, and really wonderful contrast, which make it a fun and exciting bar just in the mouth. We'll get to that as you taste it. But to take a step back, one of the things that we love about this bar is that it really connects the full history and story of cacao and chocolate making. It's called triple cacao not because it's a triple down chocolate intensity flavor, but because it actually has three forms of the plant cacao. It has roasted nibs, which gives you a delicious crunch and bitterness. So, you know, the cotyledon, the inner part of the cacao seed or bean. That's presented to you in a 70% refined European-style chocolate. And it then also includes the really special touch is the cacao fruit pulp or cacao honey, sometimes referred to technically as mucilage. It's the white sort of foamy almost covering on the cacao seed inside of a cacao pod, and it has a beautiful fruity and aromatic scent and flavor. It hasn't been paired for some reason with chocolate any time that we know of in the past. So that's the new thing we're bringing to introducing with this bar. And the cacao fruit is what was consumed in the Amazon, where the cacao tree is native to. The primary food usage for the cacao plant was using that fruit, using it as also brewing it into beer. So we're connecting that ancient history of the plant's use with that of the chocolate, the nib, and the roasted chocolate making as invented by the Mesoamerican cultures, and then linking that with the European tradition of refined chocolate all in one chocolate bar.
Well, I've been experimenting. I have a couple of kilos of cocoa pulp in my freezer. Doesn't everyone, right? And I've been experimenting with dehydrating it, and didn't think get it quite to the dryness that you guys use in this bar. But I shared a little bit with Brian earlier when we were talking, and you know, this is the first time you've had the dehydrated cow pulp, and this is the first time you've had your bar. You know, Brian, what's your sense of what of this bar?
Yeah, so this is the first time that I've tasted chocolate that you guys have made, and it's fantastic.
Thank you.
I mean, you said that the addition of the dried pulp in it is what makes it really special, but I mean, it's just fantastic texturally, what the pulp lends to it, you know, so the crunchiness of the nibs and the nicely tempered chocolate, but that almost like chewy, acidic, sweet sweetness from the pulp is just really a beautiful addition.
Good. Glad you like it. I hope we get to taste some of your chocolate soon. We don't have a huge selection of chocolate in Hawaii, so haven't been able to get it here, but
yeah,
maybe,
for sure.
In San Francisco, if we can meet up at the Fine Chocolate Industry Association meeting, we're going to that.
Absolutely, I'll be there.
So absolutely, we're affecting a little interstate commerce and sharing here that's going on. The beans that are used to make the triple cacao, are those Hawaiian beans or they come from some other origin?
Well, we actually do a couple different things. The bar that you're tasting and that we have produced mostly up until the moment are organic and fair trade cacao from the Dominican Republic. Really nice, deep chocolatiness and a nice kind of canvas for that interplay of textures and flavors that Brian was talking about, the crunchy, bitter toasted nibs, the chewy and acidic cacao pulp to play out on. But we've also, we got a lot of requests and did a special exclusive batch of the triple cacao using all Hawaiian ingredients. So Hawaiian Big Island cacao from the Hamakua Coast, from that beautiful rain-drenched and very fertile volcanic soils north of Hilo on the Big Island, where we found the best cacao in the state to be grown. And cacao honey collected from the same farms that we source the cacao beans from, for both the nibs and also the refined chocolate. And that is something even maybe more sublime than the
wow.
The triple cacao that you're tasting this morning.
So we're looking forward to getting some of that in New York very shortly and being able to contrast the difference between the two of them. So I want
to
actually...
That one you might have to travel to Palo Alto to. We did it as an exclusive for Sunita.
Oh, at the Chocolate Garage. Sunita, well, I'll have
for
to...
future chocolate program.
Well, I know that Sunita was at the Fine Chocolate Industry Association meeting in early January, and I know she's probably was at the Good Food Awards. So hopefully when you go deliver it to her, you can convince her that she needs to send a bar to me, along with some of this purple turmeric stuff, too. I mean, you know, I'm just dying to try it. Next up.
Be sure to bring some next week.
That perfect. Next up, what I want to do is I want to taste a chocolate with Brian, which is actually made with Hawaiian cocoa beans, which is the pink peppercorn and smoked salt. Now, is pink peppercorn is a different, botanically a different thing than black pepper? It's Hawaiian smoked salt. You know, what's a little bit more about the origin and of the ingredients here and what you're trying to do with this bar?
A couple of things. The flavor, this is another bar, it's interesting, you picked a couple of them that have these really interesting contrasts. I mean, on the surface, this is a salt and pepper chocolate, right, which is a really great flavor combination a lot of people are into. We wanted to connect people with something, with a Hawaiian experience, but also a kind of an interesting story here, which is that of the invasive species in Hawaii, some of which are delicious. Such as the two we have in this bar. Pink peppercorn, known locally here in Hawaii as Christmas berry, and it's a plant that was introduced to Hawaii and has taken over a lot of the drier ecosystems, the really fragile Hawaiian ecosystems that developed in isolation here in the middle of the Pacific, very specialized, and a lot of invasive species, or I should say introduced species, become invasive. Because the ecosystems here are not very, many of the plants don't compete very well because they were evolved in isolation. So the sad part of the pink peppercorn is that it's kind of taken over many of these dry ecosystems. The efforts to eradicate it have basically failed, which led us to say, you know, if you can't beat it, let's eat it.
Fabulous.
And, yeah, raise the profile and inform people of what they're eating, and also giving, maybe we can reduce some of the spread of the pink peppercorn into some of the last intact Hawaiian ecosystems. So it's Shinus terebinthifolia. It's the exact same pink peppercorn that people buy grown organically and the Atlantic or in Africa and shipped halfway around the world, but we can just wander into the hills and wild harvest it here in Hawaii, which is that how you discovered it, Matt, on one of your foraging expeditions?
I first knew about it from California, where they have a different species, Shinus mole, that's been associated. I don't know if you heard the SBA in the 80s banned pink peppercorn, but it was from confusion about which species was being sold, and that one in California is can cause some gastric upset. The one that we have here is totally fine. It's the same one that's the pink peppercorn of commerce. And it's actually in the mango family. So if you notice, there's a little bit of nice fruitiness on top of the pepperiness that goes really well with the fruity
The fruitiness of the chocolate. Absolutely. So, Brian, you know, what are your thoughts in here? I mean, salt is a really, really hot, you know, flavoring in chocolate, and pepper as well, but normally chili peppers, not necessarily other forms of pepper.
Yeah, I think flavor-wise, the choice of using the pink peppercorn was really smart. I mean, it's, you know, I tasted it minutes ago, and it's still lingering with me right now. And based on having tasted the triple cacao and now this peppercorn and smoked salt bar, I think balance is really the best word to describe your chocolates. I mean, they're just really, really well flavored, and the flavors just play off of each other really nicely.
Good. I like that. And the salt is using an invasive species, the mesquite, which is called agave. In Hawaii, was brought in, I think, in the early 1900s or maybe earlier, as cattle feed, and it took off. It's all over the dry areas, similar where the pink peppercorn is now. And so, you know, we have an ample supply of mesquite for smoking things, and we're even thinking about using the sweet pulp around the seeds of the mesquite pod as a sweetener for some of our chocolates.
And of course, other places, actually those same mesquite groves are harvested by bees in order to make mesquite honey on the Big Island, I know as well. So
yeah,
we're half.
Yeah, Big Island honey has a really amazing mesquite honey.
They have fabulous honeys, Big Island honey. Listen, we're halfway through the program today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got one more chocolate to taste, and then we're going to be talking about the neurobiology of chocolate, what chocolate does to enhance body and brain chemistry, just in time for Valentine's Day.
You're listening to Any Minute Now by Blind Benny on heritageradionetwork.org. From the Heritage Meat Shop.
Are you tired of just hearing buzzwords? Do you want to actually take part in the food revolution? Then come on down to the Heritage Meat Shop, located in New York's historic Essex Street Market, on the corner of Essex and Delancey. We have rare breed pork, beef, poultry, lamb, and goat, not to mention charcuterie that'll make you squeal. All raised right, by the right people, so you know they'll taste right. Try the meat that over 100 New York chefs ache for. Come to the Heritage Meat Shop and pick up some revolution today.
For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com.
Welcome back to the second half of Straight from the Source. We're talking to Nat Bletter and David Elliott of Madre Chocolate in Hawaii by telephone, and my in-studio guest today is Brian Graham of Fruition Chocolate. We were talking about chocolate in Hawaii, a new chocolate that Madre Chocolate is putting together for Valentine's Day with purple turmeric, which is known as an aphrodisiac. We've tasted two chocolates. We're going to get to a third right now. Hey, guys, we've got the coconut milk and caramelized ginger chocolate in front of us, also made with Kokoleka, made with Hawaiian cocoa beans. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the origin of this chocolate and what you were attempting to do?
This chocolate, Clay, the coconut and ginger, came about because we wanted to make a canoe bar, and using plants that were brought from the by the Polynesian voyagers that first sailed their double-hulled canoes to Hawaii. They brought many of their most important food plants with them, among them coconut, also turmeric, which they call olena, and ginger. We actually, one of the first attempts at this bar, we used regular turmeric, not the purple species, and coconut. Weren't quite satisfied with the flavor pairing because the olena has a bit of earthiness to it. And then started experimenting with ginger, and there's a really abundant amount of really beautiful organic ginger produced here in Hawaii, and just it was a winning combination from the start. So it turned into... This is what our canoe bar turned into, the coconut milk and caramelized ginger. The ginger's kind of got a nice crunchiness. We stud the back of the bar with it, and the coconut, rather than adding in coconut flakes or shreds, as we've seen a number of other chocolate makers do, we wanted to make a smooth milk chocolate, like a dark milk chocolate experience. So it's actually a ground, well-refined coconut, dark milk chocolate that the ginger... contrast with.
Yeah, I notice here it says 55%, which definitely throws it into the dark milk category. And coconut milk is an unusual milk to use in chocolate. I mean, how much more difficult is it to use than a regular kind of milk? Do you have experience making something with a cow's milk and can sort of talk about the difference between those?
Well, we actually have somewhat limited experience working with cow's milk. All of our chocolate is vegan. So we haven't done a lot of experimentation in that realm. I mean, I have just for sort of personal, just for fun, made some milk chocolate. I will say that the coconut oil, the oils and fats naturally occurring in coconut do make it a bit of a challenge to temper. But we can also work with kind of a raw coconut that produces a really nice aromatic effect in the mouth. So the flavor is just really. Really lovely. Actually, I think I prefer it to a lot of milk chocolate. It does not have the caramel-like quality that some dairy milk chocolates achieve. Very different kind of on the palate, I think.
And what are your thoughts on that, Brian? I mean, we think of milk chocolate, and we think of caramel. We think of wonderful cooked milk goodness and caramelized sugars. You know, what are your thoughts on coconut milk and ginger?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is it's really a brilliant flavor combination. I mean, I love that, you know, the eutectic effect of the fat and the coconut and the chocolate almost makes the texture of this bar like a melt-away in some ways. And then contrasted with the crunchy bits of ginger is just, it's really a nice bar.
Thank you again. Yeah, it's turned into our most popular bar. I think because in Hawaii in particular, there's a strong taste for milk chocolate.
Yeah, Brian and I were having that discussion earlier about how I think that the whole category of dark milks, which deliver the flavor intensity of a dark chocolate, but the creaminess of milk chocolate, is really an overlooked category, and it's really a sleeper and something that I think many chocolate makers should look into in terms of being able to expand the accessibility of their product. Now, Nat...
Yep.
You know, this is, you know, the day before Valentine's Day, and chocolate is very, very closely associated with love and with sex. It has had a reputation as being an aphrodisiac for hundreds of years prior to, you know, the Spanish arrival in Central America. What goes on? What are the chemicals in chocolate? What's actually going on? You know, is chocolate really an aphrodisiac?
Yeah, there's been a lot of argument about that over the last 10 years especially. I mean, even back through history, people said it was aphrodisiac, but looking into the chemistry of it, with all these findings about the health effects of chocolate. People have been looking into the other side of it, the aphrodisiac qualities and the neurochemistry. And when I worked on the book chapter in the Chocolate in Mesoamerica book, I tried to sort of summarize all the compounds that I could find that it found in cacao, and that it turned into this incredibly long list of about 14 different compounds. There's caffeine that we've probably heard tons about, but actually cacao has very low levels of caffeine compared to another stimulant called theobromine, which is very similar structure. There's also theophylline in there. But the theobromine, since it's not a very common chemical in the plant world, I think it's maybe in only one or two other plants, it's not as well understood as caffeine. Caffeine is quite widespread. So at first, in the early 2000s, people thought that theobromine really had no effect on people, either as a stimulant or that they noticed it at all. But the studies were done on about 20 people, and out of those, about 2 people were able to not only tell if there was theobromine in the chocolate or not, but also how much. So I think the study needed to be redone on people who were chocophiles, who had a taste for chocolate, because that, I think the theobromine might be something that's pulling them in. So they eventually redid that study, and they found that there was a really strong synergistic effect of the caffeine and theobromine, that when you have them together, the sum is greater than the whole is greater than the part. So that's the stimulating effect, which could definitely lead to some, you know, amorous feelings. I'm sure you just feel, you know, generally weak and excited or when you're eating chocolate around someone. But
I moderate my chocolate consumption for that reason all the time.
Sorry?
I moderate my chocolate consumption for those reasons all the time.
And then there's the other more compounds that have direct effect on pain. So I found that there was serotonin, which you probably all heard about as an endogenous neurotransmitter. So that means something that's normally found in our brain. There's also tryptamine, another related compound that works in the serotonin pathways. There's a tetrahydrobetalcarboline alkaloid, which is a monoamine oxidase inhibitor. And this class of compounds were the prescription antidepressants before the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Prozac were introduced. So that's the antidepressants. There's also salbutamol, which is the metabolite of dopamine. And dopamine is the neurotransmitter that's associated with addiction. So that your body's use could use the salbutamol to make more dopamine. And then there's 3 cannabinoids, just like in marijuana. I'm not going to say there's anandamide, which is one normally found in our brain, and the other ones, I'm not going to say the name because they're incredibly long and unpronounceable. And then finally, there's phenylethylamine, which is basically in the category of drugs like the street drug ecstasy or MDMA. So you can see that the chocolate is hitting your brain from all sides, you know. You have 4 or 5 different class of neurotransmitter mimics or analogs, and then the stimulus. And these are all in microgram quantities aside from the theobromine, but you've got to think that all of these together are going to make some incredible pull, even if they are small, that they're really going to add up to have a strong effect on your brain.
Absolutely, especially when you consider things like the placebo effect. I'm going to eat the chocolate. I'm going to assume that the chocolate is going to have this effect on me. And so I'm already sort of thinking about it and in that mind, and that my thinking is going to be enhanced or influenced by the quantities of chemicals that are in the chocolate. It's really amazing that it's still legal, and we can serve it to people under the age of 18, unlike many other things that contain all of these kinds of substances. So it's a really great thing. Brian, you got a couple of thoughts as we're heading off of the show this week?
Sure. Guys, it was really nice to meet you. I look forward to meeting you in person, hopefully in San Francisco, coming up. And it was really a pleasure to taste your chocolate. It was my first time, and I think it's really amazing stuff.
You're going to be your first time, right?
We always remember.
Especially when it involves purple turmeric.
I tell you what, you guys have got me completely and totally interested in tasting that. I'm looking forward to getting some soon. We've been talking with Nat Bletter and Dave Elliott of Madre Chocolate in Hawaii, tasting three of their bars, coconut milk and caramelized ginger. We got a pink peppercorn and smoked sea salt, and also a triple cacao with cocoa nibs and dehydrated cocoa pulp. All fabulous chocolates. Very, very different, but as Brian said, just a lot of finesse and balance in the way the flavors are all put together. I would like to say to listeners in the New York area that Madre Chocolate is available at Eli's on the Upper East Side, at the Meadow in the West Village, the Chocolate Room in Brooklyn, Stinky Cheese in Brooklyn on Court Street, I believe, and Ultramarinos in Hoboken. So, if you're interested in trying any of these, we recommend that you head out to those places. I want to thank everybody for being my guests today, and to say that Straight from the Source comes to you Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock on the Heritage Radio Network. My name is Clay Gordon. I'm the author of Discover Chocolate, an IACP-nominated finalist a couple of years ago, as well as the host, creator of thechocolatelife.com. My thanks to Jack Inslee for being my engineer today, to all of the people at Heritage Radio Network and Heritage Foods for all of the hard work that they do making this program and all of the programs on the network available to everyone. I'm a supporter. If you're a listener and you're not a supporter, I urge you to support the network. And as always, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.